to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Let me share with you how I anticipate tonight and the next two Wednesday nights to go, because we are in our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we are having the prayer meetings on Monday nights, Tuesday nights, and Thursday nights. But I also want our Wednesday night to be focused that way too. But it'll be different than the prayer meetings because we have our regular worship. Tony doing a great job with that. And we do have a little bit longer time and all that kind of stuff. So what I anticipate is what we've done so far tonight is open and worship, take our prayer requests and pray and take some testimonies. And then for the time that we usually devote for a full study, we're going to have a briefer study. And it's going to be more of a discussion oriented. That's why there are no note sheets, no PowerPoint on the wall, because it's going to be a lot more of looking at a passage of scripture, me kind of summarizing and giving some basic tools, and then have a little bit of a discussion, okay? And then my plan is that that will end in enough time that I can share with you briefly what the focus is for the day, the prayer focus, and then we'll have about 10 minutes for everybody to pray on their own, and then about 10 minutes for people to get together in small groups and pray together and do all that by 8:30. Now, you know the best laid plans, so we're going to do the best we can, all right? So I've asked you to turn to Luke chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at prayer for the next 3 weeks, but we're going to be looking specific at one certain aspect of it from three different perspectives, and that is persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer, okay? So we're going to talk about persistence in prayer from one aspect tonight, and then next week a different one, and then the third night a different one yet. But I'm sure that probably most of you, if not all of you, have heard that phrase before, persistence in prayer, persistence in prayer. What does that mean? What does it mean to pray persistently? What comes to your mind when you hear it? Consistently. Okay, what else? Continuously, consistently. What else?
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Vita. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, that's we do it for a number of different things. You do it for your sister's son. Your sister's son? Okay. Yes. What else comes to mind when you think of praying persistently? Yeah, the scripture where Paul says, pray without ceasing. That's actually going to be the passage we're going to look at 2 weeks from tonight with one particular aspect. Repeatedly. Okay, anything that indicates ongoing, not stopping, not giving up. I think there's also this sense of intensity, not in a negative way, but just not just going through the motions. Okay? Because you can pray repeatedly and often and whatever, and you're just going, and that doesn't give me the same thoughts of persistence, you know, because the persistence, like, there's a certain amount of desire, desperation, that kind of thing. Okay? So we find that persistence in prayer is taught all through the Bible, uses different terms for it. Even when you get to the beginning of Genesis, and it talks about creation and Adam and Eve and, you know, the whole thing with Cain and Abel. And then Seth was born. And right around in there, it says about that time, people began to seek the Lord. And that concept of seeking the Lord is all through the Old Testament, right? And God promises, if you seek me, I will be found by you. And that idea of seeking God has a sense of persisting in prayer in it. I think of the story of Enoch where it says he walked with God. And when you study what little there is about his life and his relationship with God, it's got this kind of idea that he was persistently, consistently just spending time with God. And you know, I'm sure prayer was a part of that. I mean, maybe he had the privilege of actually experiencing God's presence in a special way. I mean, God so enjoyed it. He says, come on home with me. Don't go back to your house. You know, and so he's gone. We see things like the Bible talks about drawing near to God. And we've got that promise in James that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Okay. And Jesus spent quite a bit of time talking about and telling parables about being persistent in prayer. And we're going to look at one of them tonight in Luke 18, but a different parable he talked about, in Luke 11 He says, you know, it's, you know, really seeking God and everything is like, you know, a guy going to his neighbor saying, hi, in the middle of the night, I'm desperate for some bread. I've had somebody show up. And he says, I'm in bed already. He says, because of his persistence, that neighbor is going to give him what he needs. And he applies that to prayer. And that right after that is when he says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you. And all those are consistent, persistent things. Okay. We have Paul. Dorothy mentioned that. He's pray without ceasing. And again, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. Now, before we look at this specific thing tonight, why should we persist in prayer if God already knows what we need? I mean, does that allow us to change God's mind? No? Why does he ask us to, because it's easy to say, well, he told us to, so we got to do it. Yeah, but why would he ask us to persist in prayer when he already knows what we need? It pleases him, okay? It glorifies him. Lynn?
To maintain a relationship.
In fact, that's the main point of the third, is persistence in prayer is about relationship. Okay? Any other thoughts? Okay. So it's going to do something for us, not just for God. Okay? Yes, what were you going to say, Irene? To draw closer to God. Yeah, you know, we often have the mistaken idea that I'm praying because I want to ask God for something. And that is what a lot of prayer is about, and God welcomes that. But that's not the only thing prayer is about. It's about building a relationship with Him. And sometimes it's not just asking Him for what we want or we think we need or we think that even God wants, but it is surrendering ourselves to Him, okay? So the main theme for this series, and you don't have to worry about trying to write this down. If you really want it, I'll text it to you. But persistence in prayer is not about changing God's mind. Okay, we got to get away from that wrong idea if it's there. You know, the parable of the friend at midnight, I already summarized. The parable we're going to look at tonight is not about if we bug God enough, if we don't let him go, he has to do, or he may be more inclined to do what we want him to do. Okay. So persistence in prayer is not about changing God's mind, but changing us. Through persistent prayer, we grow in faith, submission, and in relationship with God himself. And so those are the three things we're going to look at tonight. Tonight, we're going to be looking at persistence in prayer as it has to do with faith and its relationship with faith. Next week, we'll look at persistence in prayer and what that has to do with submission, not God's submission to us, but our submission to him. And then the third week, we're going to look at persistence in prayer and what that has to do with relationship, our relationship with God. Okay? So tonight, we're looking at persistence in prayer in relationship to faith. Now, put your thinking caps back on. What relationship is there or correspondence between persistence in prayer and faith? How are they related? How do they affect each other? You got to think about it for a minute and do that. Persistence in prayer. How does that affect our faith? Or how does our faith affect persistence in prayer? How are they related? Persistence in prayer builds our faith. Okay, what else?
Demonstrate trust.
Okay, it demonstrates trust. We're not going to persist in prayer unless we have faith, right? Or unless we're by faith trying to build faith. Sometimes you got to pray for extra faith, right? Any other thoughts? All right. It takes faith to keep praying persistently, believing that this is what God wants to do. And it's that persistent, because otherwise you're just going to give up, right? You're just going to give up. Yes, persistent prayer is a sign of faith. If you didn't have faith that God was going to do something, you might pray once or twice or whatever, just because it's like, it's worth a shot. You know, it's like, well, I won't say it's like playing the lottery. You know, it's like, I'll throw the dart and see if I can hit it. If I don't, forget it, I'll give up. You know, you're not going to persist in prayer if you don't have at least a certain amount of faith. But persistent prayer is also needed to, or in order to maintain healthy faith. As one of you said, we had a lot of great answers. As we persistently pray, it builds our faith because we find that through persistent prayer, God answers. And when I say God answers, it doesn't mean that God always says yes. We've talked about that many times. God always answers prayer. It's just not always yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's later. Sometimes it's wait a little while. Sometimes, well, I will if you, you know, that kind of thing. Okay. Or I will, but you're not mature enough yet. So, faith prompts prayer, but prayer strengthens faith. So they interact with each other. And I think that many of you, if not most of you, can probably relate to this. If you are a praying person on a regular, persistent basis, and over the years, you've seen that as you have prayed, you've seen God answer. Sometimes it has been just what you wanted. Sometimes it wasn't. And if you're like me, you can look back at some prayers and say, God, thank you that you didn't answer it the way I asked it. And because we see that result of persistent prayer, it caused our faith to grow. And because we have that faith, we're much more likely to seek Him persistently. So they're very, very much related. So we're going to be looking at this parable in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. All right? So let's just read it through. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him, saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So Jesus tells his disciples right at the beginning. And by the way, he is talking to his disciples. And the context is, you know, there weren't chapters and verses in the Bible when it was written. If you look right before this, the chapter before this, chapter 17, Jesus is talking to his disciples about end time stuff and how it's going to get really bad before he comes back. And so that's the context in which he says, listen, as you go through life, as we go through history, whatever, you got to keep on praying. You got to be persistent in praying. And so he told this parable that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He says, there was this judge. The judge didn't care about God. He didn't care about people. He was not a best person to be a judge, but he was, okay? He didn't care what anybody thought about him, God or people. Basically, he probably just did what he wanted to do. And this widow came to him, and you may have heard me say this before, but in that culture at that time, the two most disadvantaged people groups were widows and orphans because they had nobody to take care of them, okay? There weren't public institutions, programs, or anything like that. You know, if a widow did not have a child to help take care of her, she would be reduced to begging, sometimes prostitution, you know, unless she had some kind of resources. And so she didn't have any resources, but she had a need. We don't know exactly what it was, but it had to do with making things right. That's what justice means. Justice means making things right. And so she goes to the judge. Somebody was not doing something right. And she says, give me justice against my adversary. And he didn't care. For whatever reason, he said, whether he thought she's not important, or I got other things that are more important to do or whatever, he just refused. But then eventually he gave in and gave her justice because he bugged her so much. In fact, it's really interesting, just a little trivia thing from the original language. He says in verse 5, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so she will not beat me down by her continual coming. The word beat me down is literally the word for having given me a black eye. Okay? Now, Jesus is not trying to say that he said, she's going to give me a black eye because she's probably a little old widow woman. He's not worried about that. But basically it was used as an idiom of like, man, this thing's just beating me up, you know? And so he finally gave in. All right. And, so then he starts talking about God and bringing justice to his elect, his people. All right. Who cry to him day and night. All right. So let's talk about this a little bit. When he says that the reason he gave this parable was to encourage them they ought always to pray and to not lose heart. What does that mean? What do you think of when you hear that? It says, this is why you should continue to pray so you don't lose heart. So you don't give up. So you don't get weary. Any other thoughts? Okay, so to continue praying even if you don't get the answer you're hoping for. Just in trust, faith, believing that God has a plan. All right? All right? You don't stop. You don't give up. What is the main cause, or what would you see would be a major cause for somebody to lose heart in prayer? unanswered prayer, what we call unanswered prayer. We already dealt with that. God always answers. It's just sometimes it's no. So when we get a no answer, it seems like God's not paying attention. We would want to give up. And, you know, as you look, we look at this parable, this widow keeps coming back, and it seems like over a period of time, she's coming back to the judge. Give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. He's not doing it. It had been very easy, perhaps, except she's so desperate, to just say, I'm done at some point. But she didn't give up. Vida. Okay, so not only unanswered prayer, but to feel or sense or believe that there's a lack of care or concern, in this case for the judge, for the lady, and it'd be very easy for us spiritual people to say, oh, God always loves, God always cares. But if we're going to be honest, there are times it's like, God, where are you? Do you love me that much, enough? Do you really care? Because you're not answering. You know, I'm not hearing anything. You know, I mean, I've been in situations like, I just like to hear God say no, not just assume he's saying no, you know. And so that could cause us to lose heart. What'd you say, Kingsley?
Especially in a situation like this, when you say, it's my adversary.
Yes.
That's against me.
Yeah, and this is a serious thing. Yeah, it's not like this lady's coming to the judge and say, hey, can you give me a nice parking spot? You know what I'm saying? This is a situation where she's facing injustice. Injustice. Okay? Why did the judge finally grant the widow's request? She kept bugging him. That's right. She was persistent. She was not going to give up. It's like, this is the only way I'm going to get rid of. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you're outside and a mosquito is just flying around? It doesn't matter what you do. It just won't go away. You know? And I just kind of thought of that. So now, does this parable teach that God answers our prayers for the same reason? That God answers our prayers, we need to be persistent so we can just bug him to death. He's finally going to give in. Then why did Jesus use this as a story? What was he trying to communicate? Kingsley, go ahead. Okay, so expand on that last phrase, because that's what I was looking for, was the last phrase. Yes, we have an adversary who's going to come against us, so we come to God. We keep seeking him until he responds. And that's kind of what Jesus said. He says, if this judge does this, don't you think I will? So is he comparing the judge to God?
No.
Well, actually, he is. He is comparing him, but he's not comparing them to say they're the same. He's comparing them to say that they're what? They're contrary. They're different. There's a contrast. He says, if an unrighteous judge who cares less, couldn't care less about people or God will do this, how much more? Okay? And Jesus told a number of stories like that. The one I referred to earlier in Luke 11 about the friend that comes at midnight. He says, you know, if his friend doesn't want to help him at midnight because he's been asleep and his kids are in bed and what he doesn't want to get up, but he's going to do it anyway, how much more would your loving Heavenly Father? So it's a comparison by contrast. Not that they're the same, but they're totally different. Okay? And we see that throughout Scripture. Yeah, Vit Lynn.
I think also, as you mentioned, one of that he will.
One way or another.
So when we go to God, we believe that God can help us.
That's right. That's right. You know, another way to word this would be if, you know, this person who could care less would give in, even though they don't care what the result is, just because somebody badgers them, how much more would a loving God want to respond in a positive way? Okay? I mean, God can still do what he wants to do. So knowing that God is not like this judge, he's not resistant to our approaches, he's not uncaring. In fact, he's just the opposite. He welcomes us, he wants us to come, he cares, he wants to work on our behalf. How should that affect our involvement in prayer? What'd you say? It should cause us to want to keep coming to him, right?
Right?
Yeah. It should give us confidence. It should make it easier for us to persist. But again, sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle because he waits a little while. He's got reasons for why he doesn't answer immediately. Okay? All right. But wait a minute. We've experienced that. God doesn't answer immediately. But yet later on in this parable, or in Jesus' application of it, if you look in verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Do you find that all your prayers are answered speedily, at least according to your definition? No. So then what does this mean? Does God contradict himself? Is he lying and saying, I'll answer you speedily, but not really? Any thoughts?
Speedily in God's time is different from speedily in our time.
That's right. Speedily in God's time is different than our time. Okay? I think it has more the idea of it'll be on time. You don't have to worry about whether it's going to come late. You know, there's a lot of song statements about God's an on-time God. He's an 11:59 God right before midnight, whatever. But he always shows up on time, not our time, but his time. But I also add this in here, that the phrase that is used there can be translated. It has the connotation not just of in his time, but of certainty and surety. In other words, it's going to happen. It's a guarantee. Okay, it is a guarantee. And so we have to trust in his timing and in his justice, even when the answers seem delayed. Okay, a little side issue I just want to point out here. I've said this many times, and I still believe with all my heart. We can pray about anything. God cares about anything that's important to us. But I think that this parable also gives a little bit of a hint of what should take precedence and priority in our prayers. Issues of justice. Issue, and I don't mean just justice for the oppressed or ethnic groups. That's all significant. But justice is what? Making things right. Can you pray for God to give you a close parking spot? Sure, go ahead. Can you pray for little things? Sure. Can you pray that God will help you find your keys? You probably need to, you know, whatever. But if that's the depth of our prayers, we're missing something. We need to pray about the important things. We need to pray about the serious things. And not just for ourselves. I mean, we do that anyway. We got an adversary, and things aren't done right for us. We're going to pray about that. But we need to do that for the people around us, for the people around the world, okay? We need to pray about those things that have to do with making things right, which goes right along with praying that God's kingdom would come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm going to wrap up this part of it by saying this. At the very end, Jesus says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? When you first read that, it's like, what does that have to do with the parable? He's talking about being persistent in prayer. What is it? Well, again, we go back to the context. He's telling this parable right after he's talking about the end times. And he's saying, listen, you guys need to pray. You need to not give up. And he's basically saying, will you? And he's speaking not only to them, but he's speaking to us now. In the midst of all that's going on in your world, that's going on in the world, and everything's getting worse and worse in so many ways, maybe not every way, but so many ways, will you continue to seek God or will you give up? You know, when Jesus comes back, how many people, because there will be people, he's making a point, how many people will there be that are still seeking him, and how many have given up because it's gotten so difficult? And so it's all about faith. Persistence. We persist because we have faith that God is actively involved, even when we don't see it, or we don't see where he is in a certain situation. We don't give up. So kind of a summary is, the widow's persistence in seeking justice teaches us to continually bring our requests to God. However, unlike the unjust judge, God is loving and just, eager to respond to his children. Persistent prayer builds faith, our trust in and dependency on God. So we need to persist in prayer. Jesus taught it, and it's specifically associated with our faith. Because of our faith, we persist, and as we persist, our faith grows. All right, so I want to share with you very, very quickly. Give me just a second to swap this thing out. What our theme is for today, and when we have the prayer meetings, this is one of the things that we do, is we talk about. This thing's giving me a little bit of trouble. Give me a second. We talk about the theme for the day. And so we do want to spend some time recognizing the theme and praying for it. So today, the prayer focus, if you've got your list, if you don't, that's fine, is on families. It was on families last night, specifically marriages and single people who are either, they are seeking marriage or they're not seeking marriage, but their status in relation to that. But today, our focus is on families and the relationships within the family. Okay? So let me read for you the scriptures really quick that give us foundation for our prayers in this area today. Some of you may have already done this. I did earlier in my devotions, but Colossians 3:13 says, and this is true of all of our relationships, not just families, but we're thinking specifically of families in our prayer time, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And I've said many times, at home is the first and best place for you to apply your Christianity. Yeah. If you can't be a Christian at home, then you're probably not a totally real one wherever else you go. I'm not saying you're a hypocrite. You might be. But at home is where we need to apply it first. Psalm 133:1. The men love to quote this one. Behold, how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. And sisters, and all of us. Okay? Ephesians 6:1-4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There's some great principles there, very succinctly summarized for parents and children in their relationship with each other. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm not going to read that one tonight. We did read it last night. Most of you, maybe all of you, are familiar, and it talks about true love. Not romantic love, thank God for that, but how does love manifest itself in our relationship? And I've said many times, read through 1 Corinthians 13, especially the middle portion where it says, love is, love is, love is, love is. Put your name in there and see if you can say, yeah, I am. Or if you start laughing at yourself. Because like, yeah, right, I am patient. I'm kind, you know. And not only put your name in there, but think of individual people in your family, your spouse, your kids, your parent, whoever. You know, I am kind too. So it may give you a little bit of an understanding of what you need to pray about and in relationship to which relationship. The last scripture, Colossians 3:18-21. It is basically a similar passage to the one we read in Ephesians. Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So again, those interrelationships. And so whether you've already done it or not, whether you want to do it here in just the next couple of minutes, our focus today is on families and relationships in the family. And if you've not already done that today as part of your prayer focus, I encourage you to do so. And you're going to get an opportunity to, because we're going to do what I mentioned a little while ago. I'm going to release you, not to leave, I can't keep you from leaving, but to spend about the next 10 minutes praying on your own. You want to do that right where you're at? You want to come up here? You want to kneel? You want to sit? You want to stand? You want to walk? We're going to take some time praying for about the next 10 minutes, then I'll call you back together and let you get into small groups so you can pray for each other. All right? So let's do that. Let's take about 10 minutes to just pray on your own, whatever you want to pray about. Okay? I'll be back in about 10 minutes.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.